This is going to be a tape of an interview between Frank Reed and Mrs. George Kimball of Bostwick Hill in Lakeville. Mrs. Kimball is the daughter of Mr. Martin, who was a leader in the community years ago. She is in her 90s and is hard of hearing, and so I hope that I can pick up the information with a tape recorder somewhere in the room as I talk with her informally. You say your brother Abe was first selected.
My brother Abe was first selected. My father was sheriff of this, for Litchfield County.
Oh, yes.
And he used to be called out in the middle of the night, you know, when people were having trouble.
Yeah.
Like there'd be Polish people and, you know, foreigners that were having fights.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to call Dad out, and he had to go in the middle of the night. Mother used to be crazy because she thought he'd be killed, you know, because they had guns.
Were those workers in the mines?
Pardon?
Were those workers in the mine here?
I don't know what they were doing. They were foreigners that were here. Some lived over on the Falls Village Road. And of course, that's a good many years ago.
Yes.
And then Dad had a livery stable. You know, he went up to Canada, bought his horses, wild horses, brought them down.
Really?
And he had a lot down the back of our house where he had a like a circle, and he used to drive his horses down on a two-wheel sulky and train them. Mm-hmm. And then we'd either sell them or rent them out, you know, or when people wanted to hire a horse and wagon,
Was that here in Lakeville, in Salisbury? Was that here in Lakeville?
Yeah, right now. You know where the gas station is now?
Yes.
Well, our house used to stand where the gas station is.
That's the mobile station, the Frank Bogue station.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then where the intelligence agent or whatever it is next door, the roadway used to go down between between our house and the Barnett house. And the stable was down back of that. And then there was another roadway. Dr. Bissell lived right next door.
Yeah.
The roadway used to go between our yard and theirs, and then our backyard. And Dad used to, people used to come in there with their horses, you know, and rent them or train them. And I remember one time, Hiram Bissell, he had the store up in Lakeville, up where our old building's been torn down now, right opposite the Williams, or the old bank. And Dad,
Dr. Bissell's, this would have been Dr. Bissell's son, was it?
Hiram Bissell.
Old Dr. Bissell. Oh, Hiram Bissell. Lived right next to old Dr. Bissell.
I see.
And he had a horse that he used as a delivery wagon, and it got pretty feeble. So I remember his driving it into our backyard and wanted Dad to take it up on his farm. He had a farm up on Wells Hill. He wanted my dad to take the horse up there and shoot it.
Oh.
And it annoyed my mother, so she told him he ought to take his old mother up there and shoot her.
Oh.
I see that he might just as well take his old mother as the horse. The different times Dad was called where they were having these Polish fights, foreigners, and we always worried sick till he came home that they'd need to be killed, you know, because they were fighting. And then one time, you remember the old ore bed over here?
Yes.
And there used to be little houses all around.
Oh, really?
Where the motel is now. Well, there was a family there by the name of Beers lived there. Alec Beers and his wife. And Well, my dad was called over there because they were having trouble. And they went over, and these foreigners or somebody, they thought it was old Dr. Orton. Do you remember him?
No.
He lived right across the street from us down in Lakeville.
Yeah.
And he used to hate my father because Dr. Orton sold whiskey, a different one, and Dad had him arrested a couple of times. So he came over and set a fire to our ice house one time, and then a barn where my father had down on Peach Street, and some of his cattle were burned. And so Alec Pierce tried to tell Dad, and Dr. Orton was the foreman, trouble maker. So one night Dad was called over there to the, well, we call it the old Orbed over here, because his wife said something had happened to her husband. So Dad went up, and she thought her husband had gone out to take care of the dog. And so she thought he didn't come back, you know, when he should, so she opened the door, and then somebody had hung him on the tree right outside their door.
Mm.
And they always thought it was just the old Dr. Orton, because he didn't like it.
Mm.
Dad had all kinds of trouble that night.
Your dad was Mr. Martin, was that his name?
Abram Martin, Sr. And then his son was Abram Martin, Jr., the pastor.
When did your dad come to Salisbury to live?
When did he?
Yeah. Is that before you were born?
Before I was born
in Lakeville. Born in Lakeville.
Mother had seven children, and some of them were born over in Pine Plain. We lived there, and they both came from Saugerties to New York.
I see.
And a lot of things like that happened. But we used to always work. Oh, then one time, Dad had rented a horse carriage out to a salesman and wanted to rent the horse. So my sister worked up in old Everside of Hudson somewhere at a hotel. And she happened to look out the window, and she saw this horse of Dad's hips out in front. So she called him up, and Dad went up, and he got there in time to get the horse away from the fellow who was stealing it. And then another time, we had a horse stolen, and it was over near East Canaan somewhere, the man didn't live there, but the man that stole the horse stopped at this man in Canaan and wanted to sell the horse to him. So somewhere Dad got wind of it, and Dad bought the horse, see? And Dad got wind of it, but the horse was over there. So he went over, and he went in the stable where the horse was, and the man said he couldn't have the horse because he just bought it. And Dad said, well, it's my horse. And the man said, no, it isn't. I bought it. Well, Dad said, you bought it from someone who came along, didn't you? And he said, yes. And so Dad said, can I prove to you that it's my horse? So he went in the stable, and he said, spoke to the horse, you know, and the horse started with him, and turned right around, looked at Dad, you know, and really got him. So the man said, well, I guess it's your horse. But he says, you'll have to pay me what I paid the man to get it back.
Oh.
We had all kinds of things happen like that.
Was your dad, did he have a livery stable in Saugerties before he came here?
No, I think he used to have a meat market. He had a meat market here in Lakeville for a while.
He started with that. And then he had he brought the horses down and trained them and had a livery stable here.
See, he and Mother both used to go up to Canada. Mm-hmm. They'd go up on the train and let him, he'd buy what horses he wanted, you know, and have them sent down by train.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, let's see, Mr. Harriman over in Canaan. Wasn't, what did he live in Canaan? Boswell, I think. Well, anyway, he was very wealthy. And he bought a team up there. And Dad had a Charlie DuBois. Did you ever hear of him?
Well,
you know the DuBois family?
The DuBois family lived in Salisbury, didn't they?
Yeah.
They lived right next door to me. And Marie May was a DuBois, and she lives in the house she was born in, right next door to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the family.
Well, we had quite a family,
yeah.
Charlie DuBois. Well, see, he brought the team down for Mr. Harriman, for Dad,
mm-hmm.
And he could hardly speak English.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dad gave him work, and he moved to Salisbury. I guess they had quite a family, didn't they?
Yes, I think so. Marie and her sister,
there's one daughter lives in Salisbury, the last I knew.
Yeah, there are two of them. Sisters live side by side. Frank Markey's, Alice Markey is his another sister. And then Jimmy DuBois is the brother of the two girls. And Rod Tooley married another DuBois girl. So there was quite a good-sized family.
Yeah, there was quite a family. I remember years back, and they were always on the street. They said the children, you know, the nose were running them here and forward.
Tell them about the ice business.
Hmm?
Tell them about the time Grandpa almost lost a team of horses over at the lake.
Oh. My father used to, of course, years ago we didn't have electric refrigerators, you know, it was all ice.
That's right.
So Dad used to cut ice over on the lake for different people, and then we had our own ice house, so he'd fill that. Well, one noon, Dad was boarding a horse for some man. He had that horse, and one of his own, hitched together on a big sleigh, you know, for the ice. And he came off of the pound to come home for dinner, and he left my brother over there with the team, you know, to fill the back of the sled to bring home the ice.
Which brother, Sheldon?
Yeah.
Sheldon or Abe?
Abe.
Abe.
And so when Dad came away, I don't know, Dad, they had the sleigh backed up to where the ice was cut, and he was boarding a horse for some rich man, and my brother, the horses, I don't know what was wrong, but my brother twisted the reins around where the whip was, you know,
mm-hmm.
And instead of leaving it loose, the horses thought he was backing. They backed right into the pond and were drowned. And we were all sick over that because that one horse didn't belong to Dad, you know.
Both horses
and my brother was pushed into the lake, but he managed to get out. But.
Tell him about your dog, Mom.
Hmm?
You always had Airedale. And remember you said people used to feed him brown glass?
You know?
Your Airedales, your dogs, and people used to poison them, you said. You told me once that the Grandpa Martin always had Airedales, and that people who were envious of him would feed them ground glass, you told me once.
Yeah, well, I know he had one of our pet dogs killed one night. There was a fellow that didn't like him, he used to bark at him. So, there was a fire that night, a fire started going, the fellow came up across that yard, and the dog went at him, you know, and so the fellow killed him. I don't know how he hit him somewhere, and he laid him right by our cellar door.
Oh.
We left him there. That just about broke our heart.
Oh, of course.
The dog's name was Keno.
Keno.
Oh, that was the same name, that's why Aunt Edie and Jane. And Jenny named that big black dog they had, you know, right?
Yeah, well, that was in the woodshed.
But you told me once that, Grandpa had dogs that were, some you thought that someone had fed them ground glass.
What?
You told me once a long time ago, maybe it was Aunt Jenny that told me, that Grandpa always had Airedales. He liked Airedales. Mm-hmm. And that you'd lost more than one dog because you thought that people had fed them ground glass. Maybe it was Aunt Jenny told me that.
I don't know.
This is your daughter who lives in Red Book, isn't it? This is...
Virginia, do you know Virginia Carter?
No, I don't.
She works at Husky School.
Oh, yes.
She's supposed to be manager of the business office up there.
Oh, very good.
She lives in Salisbury. Mm. And do you know where Lyle Phillips used to live in Salisbury? Right across from the cemetery, that little one-story house.
On Under Mountain Road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Virginia, my daughter Virginia lives in that little house.
I see.
She rents it.
I see. This is Mrs. Pickard, isn't it?
This is Mrs. Pickard.
And you have another daughter named B.B. Storms.
And I have two sons.
Two sons.
My oldest son, George, lives out in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He was here for a couple of years, but he moved out there. Mm-hmm. He worked for the old Illinois Company for years after he graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a breakdown. Mm-hmm. So he had to give that up, and then he worked for a company down in Carmel for a while, and then he got a good job out in Texas and manager of some kind of a furniture store.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you always lived in this house?
No.
Were you born here? No, you said you lived over where the mobile station is now.
No.
You're there.
I lived when I was first married, my husband worked for the telephone company.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever he was sent, he was a foreman. Everywhere he was sent, we had to move, you know.
Sure.
We just get stationed somewhere, and maybe a year or two, and then they'd transfer him somewhere else. So we lived all over. We lived in Waterbury for a long time. And we boarded down in Milford for a long time when he worked for him. And then we bought a house over in Canaan. And just after that, we had to live there too long when he was transferred to another place. So that's the way we kept going. So, but I did live in here for this house when I was first married because I lived in Canaan and my mother wanted me to come back to be here. And some man and his wife were building this house. They had designed it and they were building it for themselves. And they had it partially done when he had it, since he had retired. But he had an offer of a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to sell the house and take the job.
Mm-hmm.
So Dad happened to hear about this house and it wasn't finished. And he asked them what they wanted for it. What do you suppose they got by asking?
$5,000.
I'll raise it. $10,000.
He paid
$4,500. Oh, he was right.
Can you imagine that?
And it wasn't finished. The furnace wasn't in and the lights weren't in and we had kerosene lamps, you know.
But you know,
we had a
here.
Coal stove in the kitchen. So, well, anyway, just after the people, when Dad got finished, she rented it to a couple. Well, come to find out, they were in debt all over the world, I guess, and they had bought all the furniture and hadn't paid for it. So the different stores found out they were here. So they came around to get the furniture. So the people sneaked out in the night and let them all their furniture they bought mostly in the house. So when I lived in Canaan, that was just before my oldest daughter was born, Phoebe was born. So Dad called me up and said if I wanted to come over here and live in this house, why, he'd send a team over to get my furniture, you know. So he said the house here was practically full of furniture, but if I wanted any of it, I could keep it. I said, no, I don't want anybody's furniture. But I haven't been paid for it, so I don't want to come and give it. So after that, different stores came around looking for the people that bought the furniture and paid for it. So I'm glad I said I haven't paid them any of it. Well, I wouldn't have anyway, because I had my own. So that's how we stayed here. Let's see, Phoebe was born here, and Caddy was born here. And then I think we moved to Waterbury. And,
no, Mom, we lived in Canaan. Because I went to, I started...
Jenny was born in Canaan.
Yeah, and I started first grade in Canaan. And then I was in first grade when we moved to Waterbury, because I had to go to first grade there.
Because I remember Jenny was born.
We lived on Daisy Hill, remember?
Hmm?
We lived on Daisy Hill over in Canaan.
It's all changed over there now. We live right across from where that big factory is in Canaan.
Just above the Catholic Church.
There wasn't any factory there. It was a big lot. Yeah.
Just below Lasher. Mr. Lasher had a great big farm up there.
And an undertaker lived right next to us. That was in the marsh, wasn't it?
We lived right below Mr. Lasher.
Hmm?
We lived right below Mr. Lasher and up above the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah, sure. He was an undertaker anyway, I know that. And then, as I say, when this house was empty, we were looking for a place to stay. Dad had us come over here.
You must have been born, you said you're 93. You must have been born in
1889.
89.
I'll be 93 January 22nd.
January 22nd. That's wonderful.
We're going to have an open house.
Are you really? How
wonderful. Everything goes well.
Wouldn't that be fun? Birthdays are great fun.
Hmm?
Birthdays are great fun. So you ought to have a celebration on your 93rd birthday.
Do you remember when they had that big fire up in Salisbury? Don't you?
No, I don't remember that. I've only lived in Salisbury 10 years.
Well, I was a kid in school up here. I forget just how old I was. But Dad was a fireman too, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they have a two-wheeled jig, I call it, with the hose twisted around it, and I had to carry pull it by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So the fire started blowing, which is about 2:30 in the morning, and Dr. Bissell was right next door to us, and his daughter May was alive, and she called over wanted to know if I wanted to go up to see the fire.
Mm.
We'd run up, you know, walk up. So we walked up, and the whole side of where the post office is, the post office, and the drugstore, and the building next door, were just burned right out.
Mm.
So I remember that, and I remember we stayed till, it was just about time for school to open, you know, and we had to come back to Wakefield School.
Yeah.
So Dad happened to see that I was there yet, so he told me I'd better start right back to school.
Mm.
And I didn't want it. I don't want to stay there and see what was going on.
Right.
We had to come back.
Tell him about up above the watering kettle, up there on Mount Raggy, where they used to, the mule teams used to cart the ore up to the hill, and they had a smelter up there. Wasn't it you that told me about that?
What?
The way they used to carry the ore up the hill, up Mount Raggy, and there was an ore smelter up there. And those horses or mules would pull the ore up to the top of a hill and smelt it way up on top of Mount Raggy. Tell them how you used to go to Saugerties by horse and buggy, stop and find plane.
Yeah, much of our relatives lived over in Saugerties, New York.
Yeah.
So we used to drive over Dad would take a three-wheel wagon and two horses and take the whole family. And we'd start early in the morning, we'd drive as far as Pine Plains, and then we'd stop and have lunch there, you know, along the road. And then we'd drive on the Hudson and take the boat across from Hudson to Tivoli.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, drive on up to where our relatives were.
Would you take the horses in the wagon right on the boat?
Mm-hmm. And we were always spread by those horses and get off into the water.
Right.
Oh, Dad used to stand by their head. They just had a chain mm-hmm. across the back of the boat, you know.
Right.
And we used to always be afraid that team would get in the pond or the lake or river rather, and I don't know.
So what they do, they go to Pine Plains.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me earlier, why did your father move to Pine Plains from Saugerty?
Well, he had friends that lived there, Mr. and Mrs. Wolven. And Mr. Wolven had a meat market over there. Dad came over and worked there. I forget what Dad did in Pine Plains. And then he came over here to Lakeville and opened up his own meat market in the livery stable. You know where the house is up there?
In Pine Plains. It's a duplex.
Yeah.
It's a duplex house.
Yeah.
But they would go to Pine Plains and stay overnight and then take the horse and buggy and go to Madeline, which is now Tivoli, and then they'd take the, they would take the ferry.
You would scratch it and you'd scratch all right. Like one baby's dog out there, he'll come jump right up on here and want me to scratch his head.
Tell him about the Depression when the president of the bank about the Depression, when everyone went bankrupt and the president of the bank committed suicide. The president of the bank committed suicide over at the lake, and Grandpa had to go over and identify his body.
What was his name?
I don't know, but you were the one that told me.
Heard.
The president of the bank. He shot himself.
Oh, I remember those days. I was out on the Finger Lakes region then. It had a depression out there, and the banks failed, and several of the bank officers got into difficulties. It happened all over the country then.
And she remembers
the war. Well, Laura used to live right up here on the corner. As you drive in, by the right-hand side, that big house there, I guess the dentist lives there now.
Dr. Walt Garner used to live in there. How about the flu epidemic, 1918? The flu epidemic. When everyone died with the flu in 1918.
Well, I don't remember. I don't think we lived here. We lived in Waterbury.
But you were the one that told me about it, how people were dying like flies.
A lot of people died during the flu.
Yes, indeed they did. I just got my flu shot today, so I wouldn't die.
Well, I'm going to get mine, too, and I called Dr. Brown, two or three weeks ago to have him stop in. I think,
I had it one year. We had the flu so bad. I had a flu shot, and I had the flu worse of it.
Oh, really?
Well, Mom, there's several. I had flu five times.
Well, it's different, Kathy. If I were out around with other people,
no, but we come in. And I'm out with people, and I could get it and bring it over, you know. And I'm
wondering if I wasn't going to have Dr. Brown come in and pay him $30 to give us some aspirin. They charge terrible, the doctors.
Yes. Everything is expensive nowadays. Well, when the iron ore industry had pretty well petered out before you came to live here, hadn't it? They weren't making iron much.
They had ore beds over in the ore hill?
Yeah, the ore beds were here, but they weren't mining much ore in those days when you were a child, were they? Yeah. I think that industry was pretty well gone. But you said your dad brought horses down by train from Canada. I suppose they came right down through Salisbury and Lakeville, didn't they? The train ran right by the house I live in now.
The train used to run right along down back here.
Right, back here, that's right.
And there was a man that worked on the railroad, Mr. Carter. Every time he went by down here on the corner, he'd blow his whistle. So we'd know it was him.
Yeah.
Do you know Mr. Palmer, Mr. Willard Palmer?
No.
I think so. Mr. Rogers lived at Salisbury. Well, he and I are old timers. Actually, I know his father and mother. They lived here.
Now, would that be Jim Palmer's father?
Hmm?
Would that be Jim Palmer's father?
Let's see, what is it? No, I think his son's name is Willard. Well, his name is Willard, and they lived down here on Carriage Street, Mr. Palmer. Well, he remembers all the old-timers. See, I used to know his father and mother. So he calls me up every other day to tell me, to ask me all about if I remember this or remember that.
They used to have quilting bees.
Now they have a Bible class down there every Tuesday night, so I used to go when I was able to go.
Tell them how you made clothes, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what they did. They had, you had a sewing room, and you had a sewing room, and you used to resent the fact that Aunt Edie and Aunt Jenny would have new clothes, and the clothes were beautiful fabrics, and then they'd take them apart and tear them apart, take the seams out, and reverse them, and you'd have a dress made out of the reverse material.
I remember Mother and Father used to belong to, my mother belonged to the Methodist Church down there, and Dad was a congregationalist up in Salisbury. But he used to go to church with her down there. And we lived, of course, almost across from the Methodist Church. So I used to go over to that every time there was a funeral over there to the church. I was only a kid, but I wanted to go over to the funeral. So there was the Mr. and Mrs. Powell that lived next door to us in their old Barnett house. And I used to go fishing with Mr. Powell when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Over on the lake, he and his wife used to go, and I'd go with him. And I used to go over to every funeral, and then I'd come home and tell my mother about it. Well, Mr. Powell died very suddenly, and that broke my heart, because, you know, I was just like a daughter to him.
Right.
And so I wouldn't go to the funeral. They couldn't get me to go to the church. I didn't want to go in because I didn't want to see Mr. Powell.
No.
I remember that. And Henry Barnett, they used to have a store down here in Lakeville.
That was Will Barnett's father, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Here's Will Barnett. Picture. Mrs. Barnett Sr. Did you remember the Barnetts? They used to own Barnett's store.
Yeah.
And the son was, here's Ed Eldridge. Who's Ed Eldridge?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Ed Eldridge? Mr. Miller? Picture of Aunt Edie?
Yeah.
Someone in a top hat? She doesn't know who a lot of these pictures are.
Did you know Willard Barnett?
Yes, I know Bill.
They lived over here on the second street.
That's very far.
Well, I used to take him out in a baby carriage.
Is that right?
No. Here's Steve from across the river.
Oh.
Those are her relations from across the river. Aunt Lib?
That's my sister. My Aunt Rachel.
Aunt Rachel, Uncle Elmer, and Aunt Lib. And they were all over. They were all
my mother's sisters. And that was my mother's brother-in-law.
Here's a picture of Uncle Abe and Aunt Florence. Uncle Theo. Aunt Kate.
I don't know who those three are.
Mom, who was Aunt Kate?
Mm-hmm.
It says Aunt Kate Martin. Who was that? Is that whom I named Aunt
Kate? Aunt Kate was Gertie's mother. No, her mother was Aunt Lynn.
And here's Uncle Theo.
I guess Aunt Kate was Dad's father, mother-in-law.
And here's a picture. Oh, this is a picture of her mother's mother. She looked so. And her mother was very dour. She was not an affectionate person, and she didn't believe in any demonstration of affection. And she had a younger brother, Uncle Sheldon, who died when he was 22. He was in Watertown, I think, and he got pneumonia and came home to be cared for, and then his kidneys failed. He died even when he was 22 years old. But he was very affectionate. Grandpa Martin, I think, was affectionate. And he would come home and put his arm around his mother and roll around and give her a kiss. But you can see where it came from. Look at this, how dour she is. And Grandma Martin was a very dour looking woman too. I met this one, when I was a kid. See, I used to come up here every summer, and I met, he had glaucoma, and this fluid used to run down his cheek all the time, and I didn't know what glaucoma was at the time. A lot of things she doesn't know. There's, what does that say? Martin.
Dad.
Oh, that,
mother.
Oh, she's
gone.
She did
look solid,
didn't she?
Grandpa Martin.
That must be Grandpa Martin when he was young. Oh, that must be Grandpa Martin's father. I would love to go to Florida and look up. She has a history of the family. The Nettie Beards, Ed Beards, I guess they were friends of her father. And the mom had a beautiful picture of herself. Here, and Aunt Jenny sold it. Mm-hmm. And if you get this book is falling apart.
Yeah.
There's Aunt Jenny when she was younger. She was a spinster lady, and she was a secretary. And she was secretary to Horvath, the lawyer over in Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Florence. She married a Mr. Cook from Quavrick. And she died when she was a very young woman with pneumonia. And she had a 5-year-old son, Billy, who died with pneumonia. This is Aunt Minnie. And she was married to Thorin Howell. And that's my Aunt Edie. She was a spinster. She was engaged to be married, and her fiancé was killed in the war. And then she went with some jeweler. She worked in New York, and she worked up in Philmont. I guess she was secretary to someone that... No, well, wasn't Aunt Edie was a secretary to some doctor, wasn't she, up in Philmont?
Yes,
it
was.
And
she worked for...
This is Mrs.
Kennedy and Kennedy down in New York.
You know, they must have thought it was a crying smile on me.
Well, remember when those pictures were taken, they had this hold very, very still for a long time to get the exposure. And so they had to... they couldn't have a quick... flashing smile.
There's Aunt Edie.
Braced themselves.
Aunt Edie was a doll. She and Aunt Jenny were as different as night and day because she was very good.
That's Grandpa Schneider.
You know, who's this who's that on the top hat?
That's Dad.
Oh, that's Dad?
No, I mean, that was Dad. This is that race, Uncle Elmer.
Boy, Aunt Edie wasn't bad looking when she was young.
I can't remember who that was.
This is Sheldon as a baby.
That's Aunt Edie. That's Aunt Jenny.
I never realized she was so tall. And here's Uncle Abe and Florence.
Mm-hmm. That must be me.
Uncle Theo.
That's quite a treasure to have all those pictures.
There's a lot of...
I found
in the bottom part there, there's a lot of invitations. Thank you cards from different people that wrote them. Mm-hmm.
I know there's a drawer here, but how do you open
it? There's a drawer.
Was it on this? I know there's a drawer somewhere. I found it.
I don't know.
Oh. This is so old.
There it is.
And I Alvin must be over 100 years old.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is Phoebe's bedroom. She has to sleep downstairs.
This is the way they had tea.
This is T.L. Norton, Friday, January 1st, from 3 to 6. She's celebrating the new year by having a tea party. That's a very nice invitation. Engraved card with her, the date written on it.
It's Tom Norton's wife.
And this, I think, is this when Uncle Sheldon died, January 4th? No, oh no, that's when Grandpa Martin died, 27. I would have been, I remember when he died. We've been up here for Christmas and we were so disappointed. We never had his gifts. And you see, when Grandpa Martin lived here, he owned this whole corner. Mm-hmm. And he had a barn up back, and he had a garage and a chicken coop, and there were no other houses around. This lot down here was vacant, and it used to be a ballpark. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday afternoon, they had a ball game, and it was lighted, and everyone would drive down there. Mm-hmm. And we could go out and paint up clothes in our slip, and there's no one around to. And it's grown up so.
Now this was a letter of sympathy on January 4th, 1927. That was my last year in college, 1927. That's just before I met my wife.
You know, I love old things. Mr. and Mrs. John M. Miller, wish to announce.
Mary Shaw, she's the
marriage of their daughter, Harriet Louise Miller, to George Lewis Warren. You remember that, Mom?
Here's the wedding invitation.